Welcome to the Relax, It's Retirement podcast with Josh Leonard from Leonard Advisory Group. In this podcast, we help those nearing retirement greet it with a well-prepared smile. Join Josh and his guests to learn the retirement and tax planning tips you need so you too can live your golden years with the happiness and excitement you deserve. Hear stories from his years of experience to help you transition into a fun and intentional retirement. Now, onto the show.
The Financial Times headline reads, "The S&P 500 suffers its quickest fall into bear market territory after the market plunges 9.5% in one day."
Hello and welcome to the Relax, It's Retirement podcast with your host, Josh Leonard, where we talk about transitioning into retirement with intent. I'm Wendy McConnell. Hi, Josh. How are you?
Great. How are you today, Wendy?
I'm good. Still feeling that springtime weather?
We're hopeful. We're hopeful for it. A couple snow flurries, but we're going to push through. So.
All right. It's almost over. Almost.
That's it. We're close.
Okay. So we have Pete here with us as well.
Hey, Wendy. Yep, always nice to see snowflakes on top of flowers, let's just say. It's a pretty unique year. We're seeing an early bloom here, which I think we're experiencing other places in the country too. So,
yeah, you got to put blankets over top of those flowers. Have you ever seen people do that?
Oh, yeah.
All right, guys. So what's going on for today?
Today, we're going to talk about market meltdowns and three different times that the market fell pretty quickly, many times driven by fear, and many times investors are driven by fear. Famous Helen Keller quote is, "Avoiding danger is no safer in the long run than outright exposure. The fearful are caught as often as the bold." In other words, Pete, you might have a negative consequence even if you don't take the risk, so you might as well take some risk, right?
Yeah, it's a powerful quote. That's it. We all, I think every day whenever we wake up, there's always going to be, some sort of risk. And, why would we, if it's something that's part of our life, why would we always look to avoid that or think it's totally a negative, let's just say?
Yeah, I think recently, last time you were on, we talked a little bit about discipline as well and how, sometimes pushing through things can give us the end result that we're looking for in the long term. And in that podcast, we talked about how that fits very much with investing. I think many times in the stock market, people are afraid. You know, if we think of the stock market, it's a collection of companies that are publicly traded. So although many times it's seen as a gauge of the health of the economy, it is not the economy, right, Pete?
That's right. There's different indicators that we look at whenever we talk about investing. You know, there's forward-looking indicators. You know, there's things that we can utilize that it's something that's going to tell us that something's going to be affected in a different way coming in the future here. And, sometimes whenever you do see the investments in your stock market going down, it's not a good feeling. So it can start to relate that feeling to other parts of your life.
Yeah, absolutely. So I thought today it would be good to walk through three of the biggest crashes. So we have the 1929 stock market crash. We have Black Monday back in 1987, and then more recent, the COVID crash. So in 2020, when the world shut down. So let's jump into the first one. Now, Pete, you're a little bit older than me. So in 1929, what were you up to?
Yeah, that's a little bit older. Yeah, not too much. But, I was just a twinkle in a twinkle of an eye. You know,
that's right, so, yeah. Two generations away, twinkle.
You got it. And I mean, it is something that, it did have an effect on a lot of people. You know, I remember going to my great grandfather's house and him having the stove on. He's not cooking anything. And it was something that he actually used to heat up the house a little bit. An old thing they used to do in Depression era. It seems like it was very bad, and how could anybody even survive that, little bit different than I think some of the more recent ones. You know, you hear people waiting in bread lines and, you know, just, gosh, I remember hearing stories about somebody going and making, you know, soup out of ketchup at a restaurant and then saving the tea for later on in the day because, you know, and, you know, stories like that.
Yeah. You know, yeah. But, I mean, it is certainly from a time long ago. And I think what we learn through things like this stock market crash is as a society, as a country, we evolve to hopefully avoid some of the pain that we experienced. I mean, the stock market crash, this is, you know, the Great Depression. This is when things were really bad for an extended period of time. You know, the 1920s were a booming time. Everyone was making a lot of money, so everyone was really happy. And, you know, there's a theme amongst those really, really good times. They're quite often followed by some bad times, right? So a lot of this was that over speculation. You know, one of the things right before the crash was Hoover had just come into the presidency in January of 1929, and it was considered the Hoover bull market. There was record highs, and people were pulling money from banks to invest in the market. That's not bad in general, but if you're taking too much money out where you don't have that cash bucket that we talk about all the time, that sort of insulation where you can go out and replace the furnace if you need to, or if the roof starts leaking, the car breaks down, all those kind of things. So if we have too much money in the market or position for long-term money, that can certainly be dangerous. Another big thing is people were using margin accounts. Pete, I assume all of your investment accounts are on margin, correct?
That's it. Yeah. Every single one of them. It's, you know, you could buy twice as much sometimes, but,
that's right.
If, you know, yeah, it's an interesting thing. And, you know, anytime, whenever I'm sure people talk about, hey, did you really borrow money and you risk that money? It's kind of something that is, I mean, it doesn't make any sense to us right now because it's something that was so far in the past, and it's been so much of you know, part of normal investing to never ever, you know, think of taking out some, you know, some loans and investing it. But yes, in fact, there still is ways, and it is normal for people to utilize that margin. But yeah, it isn't you or me. It's not that it's usually institutional type of investors that
sure
are working on that.
Yeah. And I think of it, you know, I think some people got in trouble more recently with Robinhood using margin and things like that. But for those of you that are not familiar, margin is investing more than you have, right? So you're using someone else's money to buy more participation in the market. Back in 1929, you could actually, you'd have margin where you only put $10 down and had $100 worth of buying power. I mean, so when that falls, man, you're getting beat up pretty quickly. You're very leveraged. Nowadays, I think margin's typically around 50%. So,
You're usually, if your account drops below about 50%, you're pretty much going to get a notice to say, hey, you better deposit some real cash into this.
That's right. So if we think about it with that 90-10 back in 1929, man, they're calling people and no one's got that money. Let's be serious. That's a really bad position. Thus, the stock market, you know, sort of fell super quickly. You know, there was really three key days there. There was Black Thursday, which was October 24th. And there, 12.9 million shares were sold. And the Dow closed down only 6 points because a bunch of the big institutions and bank came in and bought things up just to kind of prop things up. That next Monday, though, not the story, right, Pete?
No, it was quite a significant decline, you know. So what do they say? Nearly, what, 13%?
Yeah.
In one day. So you could imagine that, you know, that shock that people saw there. And what, that continued then?
Yeah, I mean, on Tuesday, it was another 12%. And really, you know, by mid-November, the stock market was cut in half.
Yeah, so you can imagine that, okay, I invested my $100. I actually bought $1,000 worth of things. And now that $1,000 that I bought is now worth $500. Now what I'm going to do?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, certainly you're in big trouble if you're if you're that leveraged. I think also it's interesting to me now, thinking back to that time, because they didn't have all these computers and stuff, right? I mean, it was literally looking in the newspaper. So you think about like that Monday. Well, if you were a stock owner and maybe, you know, you were trying to be invested for the long term, and then you pick up the newspaper Monday evening and you're like, oh my gosh, it's down, you know, 13%. Well, you're part of the 12% selling on Tuesday, right? I mean, that's that human behavior.
That's it. I mean, you used to have to actually physically call somebody that had access to the ticker tape. You know, I'm sure people see that, you know, that piece of tape coming out to actually just get the stock price, you know, let alone, oh gosh, that's this. And I please sell that. That takes a whole nother conversation. So it's, it's pretty wild to think about that. And, the pain continued then from there.
Yeah, I think by the summer of 1932, so it slid for a while here, the Dow was 89% lower than its pre-crash high. So at the high, if you had about $100, it was now worth 10. That is certainly a reason that really a lot of that generation didn't want to be invested ever again, right? They saw that huge impact downward, and they think, well, I'm not going to waste my money or bet on the stock market.
Yeah, I think that's how you just went through this, you know, that type of, you know, environment. And then, gosh, even after that, like we were talking about, you got the bread lines, you got people making meals out of ketchup, yeah. You know, just trying to use other ways just to stay warm. You know, how could you even think about putting your money into a place that you saw you lost everything?
Yeah. And I think in hindsight now, really what led up to that was a lot of speculation, that margin buying that we talked about, and in some ways, just a lack of regulation, right? So nobody, and Pete and I talked about this a little bit earlier today. I don't know. Do people ever think of regulation as a good thing? Well, the FDIC was created in the Banking Act of 1933, sort of a follow-up to all of this. And, well, that's what gives us FDIC insurance now. So, I don't know. I'd say that's kind of good. I typically always think of regulation as negative, especially in our business, Pete. It means another disclosure form, right?
That's right. That's right. We're always getting the new rules brought upon us. But those regulations don't come out of nowhere.
No, that's certainly it. And I think when I was going through like my financial education in college and maybe even some in high school, we always talked about like the recovery from the Great Depression. And I think if you just look at the Dow, I think it's 25 years to get to those highs that you were at in 1929.
Yeah, seems like a ridiculous amount of time, huh?
Yeah, and I think when we're talking to people transitioning into retirement, that would be a great thing for them to cite to say, hey, I'm not going to own any stocks, man. If that happens again, I don't have 30 years to recover, right?
Right, yes.
But an interesting article that we'll link in the show notes kind of goes through. Well, that's true for the highs, but if you, or to get back to that previous high, but if we include things like dividends, okay, dividends during a period in that time were as high as 14%, which I think a retiree would love to have today.
So not necessarily adding to the value of the stock market there. That's being, you know, dividends. That's what the company owns. Those are profit. Those are going right back to the people that own those stock. So that, you know, yeah. So that's why it's absent from those.
Yeah, but if we add those back in terms of like recouping your money, then it took about 10 years to recoup from those losses of the market. This study kind of went through and said, okay, well, what if we look at the broader stock market, not just the Dow? In that case, it only took 5 years to recover from these seemingly endless losses. Right, Pete?
You got it. So, trying to make things happen, gosh, like we talked about two generations ago, really be relevant you have to look at all these factors. Sure. You know, so 5 years to recover. All right. Okay. You know, I can stomach that, you know?
Yeah, or thinking about it, even as if your dividends were as strong as 14%, even if you stayed invested over that time period, you're getting an income off of those assets. So even if you are in retirement and you're unable to reinvest those dividends, at least you're getting something for holding those companies through that duration.
That's a great point. That's a great point that, even whenever these things are, the value's fluctuating, there is a certain amount of companies, that we do invest in that, are going to continue to pay out their profits. They're still making money, just because of this or that, outside factors, they're still making that money there.
Yeah.
So, so obviously, that's one piece there that, if you take all the factors into account, that things did recover quicker. And I think that the Fed did some things to ensure people's confidence as well.
Yeah. Well, the SEC was created out of this too. So again, more regulation around investing, but, I think there was some good things that came out of it. I think it bred a generation of very conservative investors, which might have been good for the pricing of the market moving forward, as those investors were a little bit more cautious to maybe jump on new trends and things like that, which will bring us into Black Monday in 1987. So just a little bit further ahead in the future. And for many of our listeners, this might be one that they remember, right? So this was a time period where my parents were younger in the workforce and they had two young kids. At this time, this was like a big globalization time. So a lot of the world was becoming more globalized. Investment in the U.S. stock market was coming more from overseas as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's, you start to see the world getting bigger at that point.
Yeah, absolutely. And with technology and everything else, right, we were connecting across the seas a lot quicker. Well, that was good. The Dow jumped up 44% in a 7-month time period. But when some bad news came out, it started to move the other direction. So a lot of it they now attribute to, a larger than expected trade deficit coming out. And then just a series of events from there, that led the market to kind of snowball. I think one of the big pieces is, October 16th, the Dow fell 4.6%. So some bad news, the market started to drift off. And then over the weekend, the orders kind of stacked up. So a lot of people were saying, hey, I'm in these mutual funds, I'm going to start pulling my money out. So they're putting in those orders over the weekend. And Monday, international markets open and everything kind of starts falling at once.
You got it. And it's not just somebody saw a price and they say, I want to sell it at this price. You have to sell it whatever that position is trading for at that time that it's received. So you could imagine the panic that created, whenever over the weekend somebody said, oh, gosh, this is going to be worth $30 tomorrow. We better sell it. And whenever it's actually sold, it was worth $10.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just a general example, not anything specific, but you can imagine how that would make your heart stop. You already lost some, maybe it was 50 before then and you saw 30. And then when you actually get your cash out, it's 20% of what you actually had.
Yeah. I think it's sometimes the speed at which the market rises, it can also fall. Now, that being said, Pete, I think we're both on the same page here. It does go up over the long term, but sometimes if we see that downward volatility or just volatility in general, it's going to bounce both ways. So, during that time period, Andrew Grove was the chief executive of technology at Intel, and he said there's so much psychological togetherness that seems to have worked both on the upside and the downside. It's a little like a theater when someone yells fire. And that's what he was quoted back in 1987. And that was kind of what happened, right? The market was doing really well. You want your money there when the market's doing well. And then it started going south and everyone wanted their money back out at once.
Yeah, you got it. It's irrational, right? It wasn't something that, people were working with, somebody or even taking a step back. It was, you're seeing this thing drop and panic set in, that fear set in.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, the S&P over a 3-month time period there fell a total of 34%. It kind of led to, a couple new pieces of regulation. And as we noted in the first one, this tends to happen. But some of it was to build in trading curbs to stop that sort of free fall of the market where we kind of freeze the market, let investors hopefully become a little bit more rational. And these are like circuit breakers on the stock market, right? We saw this happen later in COVID, which we'll talk about too, when the market was falling or, things weren't quite there. We were able to shut it off for a period of time.
Absolutely.
I think what's really cool, though, is if we recap, Pete, after that, the market went up 582% over the next 12 years and 3 months.
It's unbelievable. Well, almost, right? Of course, you got to remember that is from the trough there, from the bottom. Sure. What a turnaround. What a turnaround there. And I was looking at some things, there's actually a recession probability index that's out there. One is the Philadelphia Fed that I was looking at before, the Black Monday there in 87, the probability of a recession was just about like, it wasn't that high. It was like 30% there. Let me see. It's not the biggest number here. So, you're talking about 30%. So I'll get it. And I don't know. I guess we're moving on to the next one here.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's it. A good run up after. So I think one of the takeaways other than more regulation is even if the stock market's cut, you lose a third of your portfolio quite quickly, it still pays to stay invested over the long term. We see that run up. That's why people want to be invested, right? The 582% gain, not the 32% loss, right?
You got it. It's hard to focus on just the whole picture there, especially whenever you have to go through, those type of downturns.
Yeah.
34% over 3 months is, that's a lot.
Yeah. It's certainly painful. Well, let's talk about a quicker loss.
There you go.
How about COVID, Pete? When things started to shut down and kind of that news cycle at the beginning, like I think it was March 13th, Trump issued the nationwide emergency and ban on non-U.S. citizens traveling from different European countries, right? Like, these were sort of unprecedented things. What was your response at that time?
I mean, that was pretty wild. And, I think just that volatility index rate that I was looking at right before that, it was just a little bit higher, like 34%. So there really wasn't too much of an indication that we were going to see a downturn. So, whenever you think about it, I mean, it's almost 4 years to the day that happened. It was scary. It was scary. Whenever you hear they're shutting down, travel for certain companies, and then, now we're going to shut down companies.
That's right. Yeah. Work from home, Pete, we haven't done it yet, but somehow we're going to figure it out in no time at all.
That's right.
And I think I remember for me, clients calling, and we didn't work together at the time, but you were still in the industry, so I'm sure you got a couple phone calls too. But I remember clients calling and, we know based off of these historical events, things are going to be okay, but it's never guaranteed. We have to look at history. And I remember at the time, one of the stats was, well, the quicker the market falls, typically the quicker the recovery is. And to me, or what all of us think anytime the market crashes is, well, this time's different, right? And well, yeah. Companies are shutting down. How in the world is this going to bounce back real quickly?
That's right. You saw what they called a waterfall sell-off. So if you looked at any sort of chart, it almost looked like a waterfall, the way this thing just fell off a cliff there in 2020. At any time where there's a waterfall sell-off like that, the history tells us it wasn't too out of the norm for that to happen again, and those to test that downside again.
Yeah. I mean, I think if we look at the 20 single biggest loss days of the S&P 500, so individual days that the stock market fell the most, three of them, so number 3, number 6, and number 19, were all in March of 2020. I mean, number 3 is 11.98%, so almost 12%, and that was on the 16th. On the 12th, we had a 9.5% loss. So Financial Times was saying, hey, you know what? This is like the biggest, time that we've moved into, or the fastest we've moved into a bear market ever. Yet, the next trading day, we lost 12% more. Like, it wasn't done at all. Leading up to that, number 19 was 7.6% on 3.9. So logically, we would be afraid, right?
Oh, gosh. Yep. You're sitting in your basement or wherever you had to work. You're watching your money go down. And it was wild, So like you said, it was the most recent one that happened. But, I try and think about that situation, back in 1929, how that must have felt. Obviously in hindsight, looking back at that, if you see a total loss of 34% in 1 month, that's a great deal, especially if you were staring retirement in the face. Let's just say you're retiring next year.
Yeah, or you just retired. Like, what if you retired in January and you're like, oh my gosh, my portfolio's cut in a third already. Like, yeah. I lost a third of it. I didn't even, maybe take anything out yet. What's going on here?
That's it. I got to live the rest of my life. And here I am. What am I going to do?
Yeah. The good news is, though, that 34% loss in a month came back quite quickly. And after 1 year and 9 months, the market had ran up 114%.
There it is right there.
It's
tough. It's tough whenever you're deep in it to see that there is any sort of light on the end of the tunnel. And like I talked about, there's a lot of things that you can kind of focus on, as far as, hey, this thing was this hit these lows, it's going to hit them again at least once before this thing increases. And here we are, and you're talking, and now you're hearing all kinds of things like, where we've been out of that bear market,
Yeah. Well, that's it. I mean, it ran up after COVID, and then interest rates were our next hit, right? So there will always be some factor that takes the market down. I think what we often forget about is that it also goes up over time. So rather than completely trying to avoid any of these negative consequences, instead, I think we need to be well diversified, right? We need to not only own the coolest companies. One time that we didn't talk about was the tech bubble crash, right? But there it was, a consolidation of people's money into these stocks that were doing really well until they weren't, right? So let's avoid that. And let's have an appropriate timeline, right? If we don't need the money to go to the grocery store on Saturday, we can keep it invested and be patient to let the money come back and participate in those upward days in the market.
Absolutely. And like we talked about, that discipline that you have, and maintaining it through those downturns, that's whenever it counts, Yeah. When things are going well, whenever everything's, breaking records, it's easy, So I think we even mentioned that this is whenever, this is when we rely on each other. We rely on the history here. And we want to be, we want to know that we're in this for the long term, and we are, we're committed here.
Yeah. And I think as a financial advisor, that's one of the biggest value adds we can add to a client, right? We are committed to helping you be a good investor, right? When you have those doubts in your mind, having someone else, a professional resource, to look back and help you navigate these tough market times, or set up an appropriate plan to begin with so that you have peace of mind even walking into these situations.
Absolutely.
Yep. Well, Pete, we got to wrap things up here, but I got a question for you. In a bacon and egg breakfast, what's the difference between the chicken and the pig?
What's the difference, Josh?
Well, the chicken is involved, but the pig is committed, right? That bacon doesn't just slide off of you, right? That's a piece of you. So, when we're investing in the market, we want to be committed, right? We want to know that there is potential for loss, but be able to be committed. That way we can breed the positive results of the market as well.
You got it. This thing only works if we're, if we're disciplined and we're committed, and looking at some of the things that happened in the past helps put that into perspective, and realizing that whenever we make decisions, it shouldn't be based on something that happened yesterday or last week or even 4 years ago. It should be based on decades of data and experience.
Yep, absolutely. So for any of you listeners, we're happy to help address the risk in your portfolio. We'll do a complimentary risk assessment of your portfolio if you're interested. Just schedule a 15-minute call. There'll be a link in the show notes. We can give you some perspective on the risk that's in your portfolio and how to reduce it, or just make sure you're in a good investment plan for the long term. Well, Pete, thanks for joining today, and look forward to seeing you on a podcast again soon. For anyone looking to get in contact with us, feel free to give us a ring at 412-998-PLAN or check out our website at leonardadvisorygroup.com.
Thank you for listening to the Relax, It's Retirement podcast, the show that helps you transition into a happy, fun, and intentional retirement. Click the follow button to be notified when new episodes become available. Visit our website at www.leonardadvisorygroup.com or give us a call at 412-998-PLAN. And don't forget to click the follow button to be notified when new episodes become available. The information covered and posted represents the views and opinions of the guest and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Leonard Advisory Group, LLC. The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional investing advice. Always seek the advice of your financial advisor or other qualified financial service professionals with any questions you may have regarding your investment planning.